Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. Asia Pacific markets are starting this Wednesday morning flat or in negative territory. The Nikkei over in Tokyo is down nearly 0.5%. Sydney and Seoul are in the green, but just barely. Investors are assessing a setback on the COVID-19 vaccination front, as well as an indication that inflation is picking up in the U.S. But the real excitement today is about a local company that's set to hit the big stage in a big way. I am talking about Grab. And joining me to break down the headlines for you is Ryan Huang. Good morning, Ryan.
Morning, Michelle.
So it's official. Grab is set to list on the NASDAQ. It's entering through the back door, so to speak, via a merger with a SPAC. That's a special purpose acquisition company called Altimeter Growth. Now, it is the largest ever merger by a blank check company. So, Ryan, Grab headquartered right here in Singapore. It is Southeast Asia's largest startup, and it's about to raise $4 billion US dollars. Question is, what is it going to do with all that money?
Yeah, talk about grabbing the headlines. It is a big deal, $40 billion in terms of its value. And this is up from its recent valuation of $16 billion. So it is really painting a very rosy picture for its growth potential. So it's, of course, going to be trying to grow even more. So part of those funds will go towards expanding into markets. And we are looking at around $4.5 billion in proceeds coming through after all this is done and dusted.
The deal values Grab at $40 billion US dollars, as you mentioned. It is the largest US equity offering by a company from this part of the world. So, Ryan, why do you think Grab has chosen to go public by this route, the blank check company? Why not just list directly?
Yeah, a couple of reasons that could be part of its consideration. And one of them, of course, is speed. And that's the advantage of SPACs. You can do away with many of the processes without that come with a traditional IPO. With a SPAC, you have also the advantage of the disclosure of forward-looking projections, and that paints a more attractive picture when you're a startup, when you're loss-making, because forward-looking projections paint the potential of your company, and that is not typically something that's allowed in a traditional IPO roadshow or to your investors. So that could be another advantage. I think also what's worth noting is with this SPAC, there comes two features that they've built in as safeguards. There is a bit of a safeguard in the form of a tie-up or lock-up period that will tie up Altimeter's management for 3 years, the shares they own, instead of a typical SPAC time frame of 1 year. There's also a backstop that is a bit of a buffer, $500 million that they have put up for potential share redemptions by other shareholders. So if anyone wants to get out of Grab for some reason, there is that backstop there for them as well. So it kind of paints Altimeter's management really aligned with Grab for long-term growth and pretty much committing in a structured manner. So that is SPAC being restructured to have some safeguards that the IPO typically has as well.
Yeah, Altimeter's backstop, therefore, providing Grab with more certainty in terms of the money that it raises. And that three-year lockup period that Altimeter has committed to, essentially, that's longer than normal, but it should support the share price over the medium term. Ryan, as we take a closer look at Grab's business, it's probably not a surprise that most of its revenue comes from ride-hailing, with additional revenue from food delivery and digital wallet payments. So tell us, though, is Grab currently profitable?
Well, I'm sure both of us have helped it to some extent with the at least the ride-hailing part of the business. So in short, it is not yet profitable. And despite the strong growth in the past few years, especially during COVID-19, everyone's been ordering in, the delivery business is still not in the black. Also, its financial side is also not in the black. But the ride-hailing business has broken even in all of its markets. So that is a good news. And also looking at some of the growth metrics, it reported a GMV or gross merchandise value at $12.5 billion in 2020. That is surpassing pre-COVID-19 levels and more than double what it had in 2018, reflecting how fast it is growing and maybe just a matter of time before it breaks even.
All right, last Grab question for you, Ryan. Before we move on, do we know yet when the Grab shares are going to list on NASDAQ? they're going to start trading?
What we know so far is, of course, it's going to the US via NASDAQ with the SPAC. It will need some time to get this deal approved by boards on Grab and Altimeter. That is not expected to be done before July. And what's also worth noting is Grab has not ruled out a secondary listing on one of Southeast Asia's local bosses. So we might actually see it come back home if they are so inclined.
All right, next up this morning, we'll keep an eye on for that. Next morning, let's move to Fave. Have you used this app before, the payment app? It provides cashback rewards to users. So I think you might have used it.
As a cashback and coupon uncle, I have used it as one of my many apps.
I thought so. So Fave has been purchased by an Indian e-commerce company called Pine Labs, which is, by the way, backed by Temasek. Pine Labs paying $45 million in cash and shares for the Singapore startup. Pine Labs says it plans to launch the Fave payment app across India. Huge market. Tell us more.
Yeah, so a huge deal for a homegrown company. And I think it's worth pointing out that Fave acquired the Groupon business a couple of years ago. So they have it under their belt. And I think that is really now paying off how Pine Labs has seen the potential of how Fave has managed to grow and is trying to replicate its growth trajectory and its business model in India, which is a huge growth market. So $45 million in acquisition, that is going to be a huge boost for its founders. And a bit of a background for Pine Labs, it is a cloud-based platform that provides a wide range of payment acceptances for merchants to do inventory management and CRM, customer relationship management. So this is also potentially a growth potential strategy in terms of cross-selling or synergizing with its other parts of the business.
Yeah. Fave rebranded from K-Fit. Pretty sure I had that app on my phone as well. And now serves 35 cities across Malaysia, Singapore and Indonesia. So Pine Labs is one of India's hottest fintech players. It raised as much as $100 million back in December. In addition to Temasek, its investors include MasterCard and PayPal. And the company is widely expected to be in the midst of planning an IPO. I want to turn to the US, where two big stories seem to be dominating investor attention. First, news that Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine may cause fatal blood clots in rare cases. And secondly, there is the latest inflation numbers, which show that consumer prices are rising. So let's start with J&J before we move to inflation. How common are these blood clotting issues and just what has been the US response to it?
Yeah, if you look at the headlines, what comes out is blood clots and also the word rare. And this has to be taken into context how many vaccinations that have already been with Johnson & Johnson vaccines. There have been nearly 7 million. And of the 7 million, there are now 6 reported cases of this rare blood clotting issue. And so far, there has not been a strong link yet. It's just suspected. So they can't establish a link between the vaccine and this blood clotting issue yet. But it's a bit of a precautionary approach right now that they have suspended the vaccination for now. So this is something that's going to be playing out as they continue to study what actually happened.
Do we have a sense of how the suspension is going to impact the US's vaccination plans? I mean, can we expect a significant delay now?
Yeah, so this was at first on the headline basis going to be a bit worrying because one of your vaccines is suspended. So what does that mean? Does it mean your vaccination efforts have been delayed? And going into a bit of, I guess, background, you've got J&J, you've got Moderna and Pfizer in the US. So with the capacity that the US has, they can actually turn to Pfizer and Moderna for more supplies to pick up the slack. So right now, looking at Pfizer and BioNTech, they can actually produce up to 2.5 billion doses this year. So far, only 1.3 billion doses have been ordered. So that means they have nearly 1.2 billion left in capacity that the US can buy. So in that sense, they are not going to be losing out or missing any Johnson & Johnson vaccines. So maybe a slight hiccup, but long term, they still have what it needs for vaccinations.
All right. From those vaccinations to inflation, consumer prices in the United States rose more than expected in March, 2.6% from a year earlier. Higher fuel and food prices largely to blame. But analysts say we should take these March numbers with a grain of salt. Why is that, Ryan?
Yeah, you do have that number rather encouraging. And this is at 2.6%, up from 1.7% last year. So it is the highest or fastest pace in over 2 years. So it is quite encouraging. And a couple of factors why it might be so-called transitory. And right now it is, like you pointed out, prices have been going up. But why are prices going up?
Mm.
Part of the reason is the supply chain dynamics. A lot of it has come down to bottlenecks and not really demand that. And this is what the Fed is also looking out for, that the demand picture is going to be more sustainable and robust to support prices long term. And that's why it's going to be looking out for a couple of months at least for this inflation numbers to be around this level before it can get the confidence to react or move the needle on its policies.
Okay, so a setback on the vaccine front. Also, we have news that prices are rising, even if they're from a very low base. And we know that these issues have been pretty hot trigger points for investors this year. So we saw a big sell-off in stocks overnight. We didn't, did we?
Well, that is how markets have been these past few days. Despite bad news, it still pushes up even higher. In fact, we have a new record high on the S&P 500. It is at 4,141 after adding 0.3%. And it was the technology sector leading the way, the Nasdaq up over 1%. On the flip side, you did get the Dow underwater slightly by 0.2%. Part of that reason, Johnson & Johnson was down 1%. And looking at some of the dynamics that played out on the markets, bond yields were down by around 6 basis points to 1.62%. So that was headwinds for technology. And this bond yields slipping was due to partly a successful auction of 30-year bonds, showing that there is demand for US Treasury debt. So that was helping on the yield front. And I think it is also a reflection of how investors are now once again just flocking to technology when they are not sure where to go.
All right, we're talking about the pause in Johnson & Johnson vaccinations. Johnson & Johnson shares fell 1.3% overnight. If we take a big look at the market, shares of its competitor Moderna jumped more than 7%. We break down all market news for you here. On Your Money, I'm Michelle Martin, together with Ryan Huang. Now, here at home, several stories caught my eye this morning as I passed through the headlines. First up, there is talk that after more than 1 year of being closed, the border with Malaysia may reopen. There's talk, I should say, that there are going to be talks. So the Singapore and Malaysian governments set to discuss the issue soon. Ryan, what is the latest here?
So this is interesting because they are going to have a meeting, both leaders from both sides of the causeway, on May the 4th. And that's a significant day for Star Wars fans. So maybe there could be some good news in store, because what's going to happen is on the table, you do have a couple of wide-ranging issues, including whether the border can be opened again. So no confirmation yet, but that is going to be high on the agenda when they discuss what they need to do, I guess, to get that in position for a reopening of borders, which has been closed, wow, for more than a year.
Yeah, I was just speaking with a young man from Kedah yesterday, you know, and he's been back home for how many months has it been?
I haven't started counting, but it has really disrupted the lives of many people, including those working here, and they are separated from their families. And of course, it impacts the flow of goods and
companies
workers
as well. Yeah. All right, let's stick with borders and the COVID theme for a moment. Hong Kong is going to require vaccinations for people who travel to Singapore once our travel bubble with Hong Kong finally opens, that is. So Ryan, do we know when that is going to happen?
Yeah, I wish I had a date to share with you, but all I have is that they are likely to take a cautious approach, because what happened in November was they were all hyped up about a travel bubble, getting everyone excited and booking their tickets. And then just days before it was going to start, it all fell apart because of a spike in COVID-19 cases. Then they postponed it again in December. So it really has to be a cautious approach and to be really sure that everything is contained. And I think versus the time frame last time, we didn't get a COVID-19 vaccination deployment in such a huge swing. So now with that process underway, maybe it can be better managed and now it could be closer to getting it done.
And I wonder if that's going to be sort of the model for more agreements with other countries going forward, right? That only people who have been vaccinated can get on a plane to Singapore. Now, one more local story before we get to this morning's stock market action. We have fresh indication this morning that the Singapore property market is heating up. Condos resales are surging, at least in terms of volume, if not price. So, Ryan, what is driving the surge?
Yes, and we are talking about monthly condo resale volumes hitting a 10-year high. So in March, 1,662 units were resold. And this is more than double what we had in the same period last year. So talk about a buoyant property market and another signal that maybe property cooling measures may be in the works, right? So looking at this, what was really driving it, according to some of the property analysts, was a lack of new home supply. So they had to turn to resale homes, especially in the suburban areas. So this is likely to continue, expected to continue with mega launches in suburban areas continue to be limited. So stand by for more blockbuster numbers down the road.
Yes, Straits Times Index broke a five-day losing streak yesterday to finish up nearly 0.5% at 3187. So, Ryan, how's the blue chip index doing this morning? Is it adding on to those gains?
I'm afraid it is giving back those gains. Right now, it's underwater by 0.2%, 3,181. And a quick snapshot of the STI. It is almost even, just slightly in the red across the half of those in the bottom of the table. And looking at the top loser right now, you've got UOL down by 1%, and ThaiBev is up 1.3%. And we have to also take note that this morning we had the first quarter GDP numbers coming through. Better than expected. It was encouraging. It was up by 0.2%. Better than the consensus forecast of minus 0.2%. So despite the encouraging data, no inclination, no signs that is playing out in the markets right now.
He's Ryan Huang. I'm Michelle Martin. Welcome to Your Money.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.